Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me for this January 2011 edition of the Money Mom Show. You can call this hour with any questions you may have. The area code or the phone number is 347-996-3266. And this month, we have a special guest. Her name is Fiona Abolade. She's a founder of Successful Resume Services. And I just want to give you a brief bio of Fiona. Successful Resume Services was founded in 2008 by Fiona Abolade, a born and raised New York City girl with a degree in biochemistry. She's always enjoyed helping people achieve their goals, and this is reflected in the company's simple mission: help people get to where they want to go by getting the job that they desire. It's a challenging task in the current economic climate, but one that SRS meets head on with years of experience, humor, and understanding. Many clients have moved on to promising careers as a result, which makes all the work SRS does highly gratifying. When Fiona isn't helming SRS, she can be found spending time with her husband and two daughters, ideally traveling the world with Kindle in hand. Fiona, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. I was reading your bio, and I saw that you have, this is totally off the subject, but you have a degree in biochemistry. I have a degree in biology.
Yes, I have a degree in biochemistry.
I never knew that about you.
Yes,
that's
most people don't.
That is so interesting. It's funny how sometimes the thing that you start off thinking you're going to do, you kind of, you know, God kind of steers you into another direction, into the place where you're supposed to be. In your case, is helping people with their resumes. So that's awesome. And for me, it's being a financial coach. So that's awesome that God can do that for us. And I just want to give out Fiona's contact information in case you want to call her with any questions after the show. Her phone number is 571-331-4908, or you can visit the SRS website at www.successfulresumeservices.com. Again, when I asked Fiona to be my guest on the show, she did not hesitate. She said yes immediately, and I wanted to thank her again for that. One of the questions I want to ask you, and I'm sure it's something, a question that the listeners probably would like to know as well, is what is and what isn't a resume?
Well, yes, and it's one of those things where I just finished doing a four-week course on resume writing, and the very first thing we talked about is what is and what isn't a resume. And I'll start with what isn't a resume, since that's, we'll start with that as a foundation. It's not showing every last bit of work experience that you've ever had. So it's not about cooking in grandma's kitchen, unless you're going to be a chef. It's not about walking your dog or doing the paper route when you were nine. It's not about that. A resume is a focused. You'd be surprised. I've done many resumes over the last 2 years, and I've seen many different kinds, and some people feel that the more they put in, the more the employer will see how hard they work. You know, that's great, but if I'm studying, you know, if I'm applying to be a sous chef, they're not going to care that I walk the dogs. You know, it's just not something that they will care to do. And so a resume needs to be focused, and that's what I tell clients every time. I say, one of the first questions I ask a client is, well, what job are you applying for? And there are times when it kind of throws them because they think, well, can I just put my work experience out there and they can kind of figure out what I, you know, they can assume what I want to do. Yes, you can do that, but why make it harder for the employer? So a resume is supposed to be a focused biography of your work experience. And the key word is focused and precise and concise. You don't want to, not necessarily waste, but an employer only spends between 5 to 10 seconds of their time looking at the resume before they decide whether to have you go on to the next phase, which is interviewing, or even deciding to read further into your resume. And so you want to make sure those 10 seconds, which is at the most what you're getting before they make a decision, you want to make sure those 10 seconds, they get the most relevant information about your work experience. You want to make sure that they can see without a shadow of a doubt that you are qualified and you fit the position that they're looking for. And so you don't want them wading through details that they don't need to know. And so
you
the
know,
resume...
Fiona,
mm-hmm.
That's interesting because it kind of goes against everything that I would think should go on a resume. Of course, I'm not an expert, but you just think you have to put everything in because you want to, like you said, put your best foot forward, and you think the more information you put in, the better. But like you said, the potential employer, they have to wade through so many resumes, and they don't have time to read every single detail that you put in your resume. It has to be focused.
Right. So, I mean, figure, let's say for a human resource person looking at resumes, they may be looking at 200 resumes a day, and they're all on white paper with black lettering. They all look the same. And so they don't have time to figure out what you're trying to apply for. They don't have time to figure out whether you are the best candidate or not. You have to tell them. And I tell students in this class I was doing, I said, you never want the employer to assume. You never want the employer to have to spend time to assume. You want to be very clear, and that's what your resume is. It is. And another thing I tell clients is a resume is your marketing tool. You are trying to market your skills to a prospective employer. And just like we are marketed to every day between commercials, between sales ads, between brochures or anything like that, salespeople, you always want to put your best foot forward, like you had said. And your resume is no different. You are trying to market to a prospective employer what you want to do, how you can be an asset. And so when you're marketing someone, you want to show their best work first. You want to show them the benefits first. You don't want Imagine if you're trying to sell a car and a salesperson comes up and says, well, they're great locks and the tires are black and the windshield is nice and clean. I mean, that's not really what you're talking about when you're looking for a car. You're looking for maybe the gas mileage. Maybe you're looking for the color. Maybe you're looking for if it's two-door or four-door. You're looking for the most important things first. And then you find out if the locks work or if the tires mm-hmm. are black. And it's the same thing with the resume. You want to make sure that it's focused. You want to make sure it's precise, and you want to make sure that your best information, the one most relevant to the job that you're applying for, is up in front. And that's the thing about a resume. And so it's not so much about kind of throwing everything on a wall and hope something sticks. There's no time for that. They don't have time for that. You have
right.
to, which is why resumes take a lot of work. They take a lot of time and a lot of preparation because you have to think every line in your resume is a valuable piece of real estate. You don't want to waste any words. You don't want to waste any space because that could be the difference between you being called for an interview and not. Because
now,
let's say... Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Fiona. Then what is a resume?
A resume... Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. A resume is a piece of, use this piece of paper, but it's a piece of paper. You can also do it online as well. It doesn't have to be a hard copy, but it's great to have a hard copy. And it's a listing of your work history. It's a listing of your education. It's a listing of any relevant training that you may have. It's a listing of any relevant computer skills or language skills or any sort of associations that may be relevant to the job. And the key is, relevant to the job. If you are part of the ASPCA and you're going for a marketing job, maybe you don't have to put that on there. It's just it has to be relevant to the job. And so, in contrary to belief, you do not have to put every last thing you've ever done in a resume. In fact,
but I want to put everything. They have to know I'm good.
And they'll know you're good, but you don't have to put every last thing. You don't have to put it in, unless it's relevant. Now, There are things. Like, let's say if you were in a job and it was in the last 10 years and if you don't put it in, it shows a significant gap in your work history, then yes, you do have to put it in. But even then, you don't have to put a lot of information about it. You just have to say, mention that you worked there for a certain amount of time and then keep going to the relevant stuff. And so it's preparing. The resume is a list of relevant experience for the job that you're applying for. And that can change. If one resume for marketing is not the same as a resume for human resources. And that's the thing, too. You can't use the same resume for two different industries because they're asking for two different things. And so you have to tailor it to each industry. And that's what a resume is in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of All My Praise by Selah. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I will be right back.
Bye.
Welcome back. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and you are listening to a special January 2011 edition of the Money Mom Show. I have with me special guest. Her name is Fiona Abolade. She's the founder of Successful Resume Services. And the last segment, we were talking about what is a resume and what isn't a resume. And Fiona gave us some awesome information in that segment. And this time around, we're going to be talking about what are the different types of resumes and how do we use them. Welcome back, Fiona.
Thank you.
So what are the different types of resumes and how do we use them?
Okay. Well, I guess, first of all, I guess to even say that there are different types. And normally we, when we think of a resume, we think of the standard. You put the most recent work experience. You have a date. You have, you know, June 2008 through present. I worked at ABC company as this job, and I did this, this, and this. And then you go from the one before that and the one before the before that. And that's what we call chronological resume. It's the one that normally we see. It's the one that employers expect to see. And for the most part, it works fairly fine. If you are steadily going up in rank in terms of careers, if you just came out of college, then chronological is the way to go. It's fairly straightforward. You can go and find examples of it fairly easily online or in books, and you can tailor your resume that way. But let's say, for example, you've been a stay-at-home mom for 3 years, and you've been out of the workforce for a while. But let's say with the economy the way it is, you've been out of work for more than 6 months or, you know, close to a year. Or let's say you've been in school, or let's say you decided to change careers. You were that marketing rep and you decided you wanted to become that sous chef.
Or a biology major that wanted to be a financial coach.
There you go. Or the biochemistry major who wanted to be a resume writer.
Right.
Those kind of things. Or let's say things even more serious, like let's say you were incarcerated, or let's say you for some reason you had a run-in with the law, just different things. And a chronological won't work for you as well because you have these gaps in your work experience. And one of the things that a chronological resume does is it does not hide anything. You see plain as day. You can see that you haven't worked for 3 years, or you can see that you missed 2 years of, you know, work experience, and where did that go? And in terms of a career change, if you have that biology major and you want to become a financial, you know, analyst, well, how can an employer see that you have that kind of skills? All they see is that you have marketing, or all they can see is that you have experience in a science background. And so what do those people do? And another type of resume to help solve those kind of issues is called a functional resume. The difference between a functional resume and a chronological resume is a functional resume highlights the skills. It highlights that you have the marketing skills or the customer service skills, and it does not really emphasize where you got them. And so let's say if you want to be a financial analyst, but you've been working in a science degree, a science background, well, you can still show that you have finance skills. You can show how you've done it. Maybe you put together a budget. Maybe you put together projections in terms of a science contract. Maybe you have been able to do presentations. Maybe you list those skills and you list the accomplishments, but then you don't really list where they are. The actual job listings are at the end of your resume, because once again, if you only have 10 seconds to impress an employer, you want the most important things first. And if you're going to do something like a career change or explain gaps, what you want the employer to see is the skills. If they only have 10 seconds to look at it, you want them to see the skills, not necessarily where you got them. And there are pros and cons to both formats. The pros for chronological is people expect it. It's straightforward. It's easier to find examples, it's easier to you have your structure, you go down the list, put in your accomplishments, and you're fairly done. The downside is, like I said, you can't hide anything. You can't.
Right.
Yeah. If you miss 3 years of work experience, there's no way around that. They can count. They can count from 2007 to 2010. You haven't worked. There's nothing you can say. Where does it go? And it's up to the employer to decide whether they want to call you in for an interview and ask you more about that.
For my husband, as you know, I was unemployed for about 9 months between October 2009 and July 2010. And so that was an issue for him, too. And I know you worked with him to tweak his resume. He changed the format of his resume as well. And it really, really made a big difference because one time he wasn't getting any calls for interviews, and then when he reworked his resume based on the suggestions you gave, and then he changed it up himself as well, it really made a huge difference, and he actually started being called for interviews just by changing it up because he was unemployed for such an extensive period of time.
Right. Anything more than 6 months of unemployment starts raising red flags. So unless an employer can see, let's say you were unemployed for a year, but let's say you show that your education has spanned for that year, well, the employer can say, okay, well, maybe they were in school full time and that's why they left. But if there's nothing in the resume to kind of explain the gap, then a chronological resume would show it would definitely show up the red flags. And so that's the downside of chronological resume. So you have functional. And the good thing about functional, like I said, it highlights the skills. It highlights. Let's say you're a stay-at-home mom and you want to get back in the workforce and you don't really have work experience, but you were volunteering in PTA. Well, the skills that you learned from the PTA, you can definitely put on a functional resume. If you've done marketing for, let's say, Candy Grams, or if you were the president, and so you had to delegate and you had to facilitate all these different events. Well, those kind of things will work great for a functional resume. The downside of functional resume, though, is that people don't see it very often. And so when they do see it, they automatically think, ah, you're trying to hide something because you don't see it very often. And that's the thing. And so you kind of have to weigh your options. There have been a few. Most of my clients, we go chronological because, for the most part, they usually have progression, and it's not too much of a stretch in terms of if there's anything to explain. It's not too hard to explain in it. But there have been a few. Like, I've worked with stay-at-home moms, people who wanted to get back in the workforce, and those who totally changed their jobs, their career path, and we went with a functional way. And for them, it worked because they showed how they had the skills, but not necessarily in the industry that the employee was expecting. But they have the skills, and that's the thing, right? That's the thing that you have to highlight. It's all about highlighting in your resume. It's the best way to highlight what you have.
Fiona.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For stay-at-home moms, that just popped in my head. Can they add any skills that they use as a stay-at-home mom to their resume, or is it just volunteer type work?
Yeah, it's any type of experience. A resume is great that way. It doesn't care whether it's paid experience, volunteer experience, as long as it's experience. And so it's a little harder if, let's say, you were, okay, for example, let's say you want to become a teacher. Okay, let's say, here's a simple example. Let's say you want to become a teacher at a private school, and you don't have a degree in education, or maybe you do, but it was a long time ago. Yeah. But you've been homeschooling your children for the last 10 years. Well, you can definitely use that as experience on your resume. And there are ways, and once again, you would say teaching skills. And you can say, homeschooled 3 children from ages 9 through 6 in these different subjects for the past 10 years. And you can show, you can say, this child scored top levels in standardized tests, or this child went from reading below grade level to above grade level. And so basically, you can say that you have the experience and you can actually document accomplishments you've done without, you know, and it's not a volunteer. It's something that you had done in your home. But as long as you show that you have the skills and you can show that you have accomplishments doing what you're doing, then it's totally fine to put in your resume.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, that's something we can highlight next segment, too, those accomplishments, because it's not only important to have skills, as you said, but to also show how those skills have, you know, made you relevant in your current position and have resulted in achievements on your job. So that's also important.
Yes.
Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I will be right back.
This boat of men onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Just a swing and a storm, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants calling out my name and they laughed at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me, time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for
This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and this is a special January 2011 edition of the Money Mom Show. I have as my guest Fiona Abolade, founder of Successful Resume Services, and we've been talking about all things resume. And I love that last song that I played, Casting Crowns, Voice of Truth. It's one of those songs I listen to when I'm not having a good day, I'm feeling kind of down, and it just kind of lifts me up and encourages me. And it reminds me of the scripture that is a scripture for this show. It's from Habakkuk 2 and 3. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And sometimes we get discouraged and things don't happen for us quickly, especially in this day and age with the market and the economy and the employment the way it is. So many things are so uncertain, and sometimes it feels like, you know, that job won't come, that position that we really, really want doesn't seem like it will ever come. But listen to the voice of truth. Listen to God's truth. It may seem like it's delayed, but it won't delay. It'll happen. And one of the ways, while we're waiting, what we can do is we can take action. And one of the things we can do is to have an awesome, awesome resume. And that's what Fiona's field is, and that's what she's talking with us about this hour. And you can call in if you have any questions at area code 347-996-3266. And another question that our listeners may want to know, Fiona, is what is the proper structure for a resume?
Well, the proper structure, I kind of chuckle because usually when we offer free resume reviews. So in other words, one of the things that when we created, my husband and I created this company, and one of the things that I wanted was for anyone to have opportunity to have their resume reviewed, just looked at. Because there are times when I remember looking for jobs and I thought my resume was great and I wouldn't get any calls. And there was no one to really tell me why I wasn't getting any calls. And so it was one of the things that I had wanted and my husband wanted us to do as a business, to offer anyone free review of their resume, even if they decide to go somewhere else or do something else, you know. But the reason why I even brought that up is because people have been taking us up on that offer. And when I see the format, I would say, well, how do you use this format? And they'll go, well, I use Microsoft Word as a template, which is a good start. But that's not really the proper structure to really get your point across. Because remember, it's a marketing tool. Your resume is a marketing tool. And the template in Word doesn't really highlight the skills that you want to show in those first 10 seconds. And so what's the proper structure? Well, first and foremost, you put your name, your name, your address, your contact information. Please, when I tell people, I said, be very mindful of your email address. Do not say that your email address is hellokitty@yahoo.com. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what kind of emails people put in their resumes. And that's great for your friends. But if you're going to have employers take you seriously, you need to have a fairly professional email address. So if it's sherrygray@gmail.com, that's great. You know, if it's S. Gray, or if it's something professional, nothing like, I don't know, Pee Wee Baseball 1-2-3. I mean, whatever, Let's Go Giants, nothing like that. You have to have a professional email. And there's no excuse right now between Gmail and Yahoo and MSN. You know, there's just no excuse. So
it's free. You can get it for free.
It's free.
And that's the other thing, too, with the email. If you have an unprofessional email name, it makes the employer wonder what else is on it. It kind of throws the employer off.
Exactly.
And it makes them wonder about you as a person. Are they going to
be
professional on the job?
And
also what you were talking about with the complimentary review that you do of resumes, that's a good thing too. Well, it's called a second set of eyes. When I do a lot of writing in my job, and it's always important to have someone else look at it, because like you said, you think it looks awesome in your own mind, your own eyes, but you've been looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, and you really need a fresh set of eyes to kind of be objective and come in and kind of look at what you've written, and they can see things that you may never see.
Right. Exactly. And in a sense, too, you connect the dots in your head, in your head. You think, well, this makes sense from this point A to point B, point C. Well, maybe you really forgot point B. You went from A to C, and you know point B in your head, and you can, you know, in your mind, you're thinking point B is there, but it's not. And so that's why we do it. And so in terms of the structure, you have your contact information with your nice professional email address, and please make sure you have email address. I know I've had clients who say, oh, I'm not really great with computers, or I feel very unsure about computers. Can't they just call me? Yes, they can, but most employers right now do email. So please have an email address. Have someone else check it if they need to. I mean, just have another way other than your cell phone to contact, because it would be a shame for you to miss an interview because an employer was trying to reach you and your battery where you was dead for the last 2 days and you didn't realize it. Or let's say your dog hit it somewhere or your three-year-old child hit it somewhere and you don't know where it went. It'd be a shame. So have email. Check it. Right. Have an email account. And so make sure you have your contact information. And then right below there, for my clients, I create what's called a qualification summary. And this is something that most resumes don't have unless they're very knowledgeable or they've had them professionally done. And the benefits of having a qualification summary is, first of all, instead of having the objective, most of the time you have the objective. My objective is to obtain a job in the educational field where I can be fully utilized to my greatest potential. That is great.
Right. I'm guilty.
So am I. I've done it too, and that's great for you. But what does it do for the employer? And that's the thing you have to think about. The structure needs to show what you can do for the employer. And so we have what's called a qualification summary. And it is the first third of your page, which is a big chunk of your resume if you think about it. You only have a page, really. If you only have 10 seconds, you don't have much time. And so it's important enough that we're going to devote a third of your page, your first page, to this qualification summary. And so what's in the qualification summary? Well, it first has the title of the job you're applying for. Why do you want to do that? To make the employer, make it easier for them to figure out whether you want their job or not. And it makes it easier for you as well because you're not weeding through requests for interviews for jobs you don't want to have. And especially if you're applying to a headhunter or temp agencies or wherever else, it just makes everyone's job a lot easier and saves time. So if you're applying to be that marketing representative, then say as a title to your summary, marketing representative. Makes it very easy, especially nowadays because human resource people have a lot of resumes to go through. Some companies use computer software to basically pick up those kind of keywords for jobs that they're trying to fill. And having the title right that you're applying for right on top there, it makes it easy for the software to pick up your resume. And
it's so funny, it's funny that you mentioned that because, of course, you helped me with my federal resume.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I had a standard, I guess, non-federal resume. And you really, got in there and reworked it and everything. And it's funny because, like you said, they do the software, they scan your resume. So they have so many, they don't have time to really look at each one individually. And so for them to scan it, you have to have those keywords, you have to have that information in your resume in order for that software to pick it up and to even be forwarded to the hiring manager.
Exactly. It's very important. And I'm glad you brought up the keyword thing, because in the qualification summary, you also start putting those keywords. So let's say you have job listings for marketing and you pull up just different words that you see over and over again throughout the listings. And it's one of the things that we talk about how to prepare to write your resume. you take up some job listings, and the words, you see the same words over and over and over again. We call those words keywords. Those are things that you have to put in your resume in more than one time. And so in the qualification summary, you start putting in those words, communication skills, for example, or interpersonal skills, or budget management if you're going for a financial analyst. And you start putting those in, and just as, it's just a way to start alerting the employer that, hey, there's a person here who may or may not be able to fit the bill for this job, but, hey, read a little further. And so that's the first third of your page. Then you start going to your work experience. Now, some people say, well, how about my education? Should I put my education first? It depends on what you're applying for. I usually go with work experience because nowadays work experience trumps any sort of education that you may have. Now, unless you're going to be a professor or unless, let's say, for the federal government, they're very specific as to what type of education you need to have. But even then, work experience still trumps that because usually they ask for a master's degree or equivalent of a master's degree, which basically means work experience. If you can prove that you have the equivalent in terms of education, maybe on-the-job training, or maybe it's the year's experience, then it always trumps. I believe it always trumps education. But there are a few exceptions to that kind of, to the rule. But usually I put work history right after qualification summary. And what do you put in your work history in terms of the experience? Well, you put in what you did. And I do want to say this. Please never, ever, ever write the word responsible for in your resume.
Oh, no. Guilty again.
Please, I'm begging people, please. Don't say responsible for obtaining a license or whatever. Responsible for assisting a manager. Responsible for says nothing. It's a waste of space. Just cut out the responsible for and just start with the verb. If you were responsible for assisting, just say you assisted. You don't need to say responsible for is very passive. It's kind of like you don't want to toot your horn, but you just want to mention it. That's what responsible for means, you know. So just take it out. I mean, I know some people feel very shy about tooting their horn, but remember, it's a marketing tool. You want to toot your horn. You want to brag a little bit. I'm not saying to be overly, arrogant. You know, don't be arrogant. But you do want to highlight your best skills, and so you have to toot your horn a little bit. So don't. There's not time to be passive. So if you organize, say you organized. If you facilitate, say you facilitated. And then in terms of verbs, if you say you developed, say developed rather than assisted. There's certain verbs that are stronger. You know, I tell people, if you developed, if you executed, if you created, if you organized, if you facilitated, if you liaised, if you mediated, there's a whole bunch of different verbs that can be used and that are very strong action verbs that can be used. And so you write those different words, and then also we talk about accomplishments, and that's very key. Like you had said, Sherry, earlier, the accomplishments are the things that distinguish you. Not anyone, but there are a number of people who can fill a job. There are a number of people who have the same job description, but there's only one person who's done a certain job a certain way, and the way you show that is through your accomplishments. And so if you've executed something that saved the company money, then you should say that. If you've done a process, you streamlined a process which saved the company time, let's say it took 3 months before and now the process can be done in 1 month because of your efforts, then say that. Because those are the things, those accomplishments are the things that will distinguish you from other people. And so the employer can say, hey, not only did she come to work and sit at a desk, she actually saves the company money, and I'm pretty sure she'll do the same thing for us if we hire her. Or, hey, she didn't just come in and leave exactly at the same time. She actually saved the company time or not just fulfilled quota, but actually brought in more business, more revenue. So it's those kind of things. Those accomplishments are also important to put on your resume, not just what you did, but how you did what you did.
You know, Fiona, there's this book I read. It's awesome. It's called Lynchpin by, I believe it's by Seth Godin. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about that very thing in it, becoming a linchpin, becoming that person that's key to your organization, where mm-hmm. you're not just punching the clock from, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever it is, that you mm-hmm. actually position yourself to be a key component of your organization so that you do stand out, so that you are, you know, head and shoulders above the other people in the organization. And if you ever choose to go to another organization, that you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very important. Very and usually I get from people, well, I really haven't done anything. I really haven't. But the funny thing about accomplishments is usually it's those things that you take for granted. Usually it's those things that you find that are easy for you in a weird sort of way. I mean, right. There's some things where you could think, oh yeah, I had this really big problem and I solved it. And those are, you know, yeah, put those on. But some people who feel like, yeah, you know, I was just an assistant. I really didn't do much. But I bet that if you really thought about it, every single person has done something to make mm-hmm. their jobs a little easier for them and for other people. I strongly believe that. And I make people really think about, like, okay, well, what did you do? And how did you do it? And what did you mean when you said that? And surely, slowly but surely, they'll go, oh, yeah, that reminds me of a time. And they start telling me a story about what they did. And I'll go, okay, you know what you just told me? That's what you write in your resume. You know, it's just, you know,
right,
those
right.
are the things that you write down. Those things are unique to your own experience that no one else has, that you can put on your resume. Not only is it great for your resume, but it's great for interviews, because normally with interviews they have, tell me a time when you have faced a difficult customer. Well, if you've done it, well, it's true. You know, well, if you've done your preparation with your resume, interviews are a lot easier to do, quite honestly, because you've had to think through these things. You've had to think through your accomplishments. You had to think through different situations that you've done and how you solved it. Tell me, you know, tell me a time when you were a team player. All those kind
I
of
love behavior. That question.
Oh, yeah. You know, tell me your biggest weakness, or just all this time, you know, all those different questions. And so, you know, as you're going through your resume and thinking about those accomplishments, is those things that you also keep in mind when you go through your interview as well. So it's a twofold thing. It's not just, well, it's for my resume and it's not good for anything else. No, I mean, it helps you prepare for other things as well. So those are kind of, and then afterwards after your work experience, you would have your education, you would have your, and for your education, now in terms of, how far back do you need to do your work experience? I get asked. No more than 10 years. So any work experience beyond 2001, it's not really relevant. It doesn't, I mean, unless it's something that, even if it's something very relevant, let's say you're going from marketing and you had done a job 10, you know, 15 years ago in marketing, no, it's not relevant, because at that point so much things have happened, new technology, new processes, new ways of doing business, that mm-hmm. anything before 10 years, no, don't. You know, I don't need anything from 1995. No, I really don't.
Right.
So,
well, Fiona,
mm-hmm.
we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Hold Us Together by Matt Mayer. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Bomb, and I will be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Job. Don't pay your bills. Won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life. Government, but it's so.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is a January 2011 edition. We have a special guest, Fiona Obolade. She's the founder of Successful Resume Services. And if you want to contact Fiona after the show, you can do so by calling her at 571-331-4908 or visiting her website at www.successfulresumeservices.com. And it has been a joy. I can't believe the hour is almost up. We're going to finish up with you talking about the experience, work experience, not going back to the beginning of time with that.
So I tend to get very enthusiastic and excited when I talk about just resumes and resumes in general, and because I just find that most people just they don't have classes for this, you know. I know in colleges they have classes, but I don't remember getting class on resumes, quite honestly, when I was growing up. And so a lot of this information is new to many people. But, basically you don't go more than 10 years back. Even for federal resumes, you don't really go from more than 10 years back unless they're very specific. And then afterwards you put down your education. If your degree is more than 10 years ago, put it this way: if you got your degree before 1995, don't put down the year when you got it. and it's not to say we're lying, but you know, the reason why is because whether employers admit it or not, as soon as you start putting down the year of your degree, they start tackling how old you are. They will never admit that, but if you had graduated in 1995, then they go, oh, okay, 1995, okay, you know, she's on 22 years old, that's 15 years ago, you know, and they start tackling their head around how old you are. And so if you are, let's say, doing a career change or you're a stay-at-home mom and you may be a little older, well, you want them to see your best foot first. You don't want them thinking, oh, are they, you know, mid-age? You don't want all that. You don't want the judgment to be clouded. And so for those kind of things, don't put the year. Just say that you have a bachelor's degree from this college. And if they really need to, they can call the college and they can get the information. So,
that's very good tip.
Yeah. You don't want to have any hindrances for them to call you for an interview. Not to say be completely honest. You know, I'm not saying to be deceptive in any sort of way, but I am saying that if you want them to have the best impression of you, and you don't know what kind of mindset they're in, they whether they have a thing or not, they may say, hey, you know, I want someone who's in their 30s. Yes, 30s. And so you just don't know. And whether they want to, you know, they admit that or not, then that's their thing. And so after your education, then you can put any sort of relevant trainings or associations, relevant, please. You don't need to know that you're part of the, you know, the Woodcutters Association. You know, unless you're going for to be a woodcutter. I mean, there's just no need. Right. And so,
I can't put every single thing I've ever done, can
no.
I?
No, you really can't. And that's another thing, too, because there's a question I get. They go, well, how long is my resume supposed to be? Which I do get. And I tell people, your private sector resume, and this is only for private sector, federal is a whole different thing. Private sector resume is no more than 2 pages long. No more. That's all you get. And we're not talking about 10-point font. I've seen resumes where they would cram every little bit. They would expand the margins. No. 12-point font. No, nothing smaller than 12-point font. You know, you're talking about your address at the top. Okay, that could be a little smaller. But in terms of the actual body of your resume, no smaller than 12-point font. Please do them a favor.
With the federal resume, they want to know your life history.
Right.
They want to know your blood type. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just so much information.
You'd be amazed. Yeah, for federal resume, I tell people no less than 5 pages. Don't even try. you know, if you're at 4 pages, that's a bit too short for a feather resume. And that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm.
I know. On that note, I just want to also thank you for helping me with my federal resume. And because of your efforts, I was actually, you know, selected, actually passed from HR to the hiring manager, as you know. And it's something that never happened to me before, but because you went into my resume and you really reworked it and went over it with a fine-tooth comb, I got to that next step, and I really appreciate that, you taking the time to help me with that.
Well, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure, and it's every client has their own story and their own. We say we strive to make your success. That's our motto, and so each client is personal to us. Each client we care about, and we want each client to succeed. So, mm-hmm. So in terms of how to even start? Now we have all this information. You're probably thinking, okay, now what?
Well, actually, Fiona, I'm going to have to end it. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm going to have to bring you back another time. We have like 1 minute. I just want to thank you really, really quickly before it's over. I want to thank you. You gave us so much great information. And if anybody has any questions for Fiona, just give her a call at 571-331-4908. I know it could be overwhelming to start, but if you really you know, want someone who's absolutely there for you and who can do an awesome job, that's her. Her website is also www.successfulresumeservices.com. Thank you again, Fiona Obolode, founder of Successful Resume Services, for being my guest this month. You guys, I want to just encourage you to keep moving forward, never give up. And thank you for listening in again. It was an honor, as always, to serve God as I serve you. Thank you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
that's what you are.